This is Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, and you are listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
We got to shout out our sponsors here at the BCB. Guys, check out Funkenstein Wrestling Superstore over in Englishtown Flea Market.
Hi, Dan. Hi, Heather.
New Jersey. What do we got? G.I. Joe's, Ghostbusters.
We got horror. Wrestling. We got wrestling. We got video games. They always have great stuff in the store, always stocked to the gills. I might actually go there tomorrow.
Best store in the world. Our favorite store.
Some of our favorite people, too. I love them.
That's it. And also got to shout out our new sponsors here for May, the No Gimmicks Podcast. Podcast that keeps it 100% real, 100% of the time. Check them out on all your podcast platforms. And they have a Facebook group, the No Gimmicks Podcast fan page. Check them out. Let's do some interviews, goodest brother.
Let's do this.
Stay tuned.
Hello, I'd like to welcome you to paradise, where everyone is riding on a satellite, sending signals, praying for miracles. We should have seen this coming.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back here pre-recorded live at 80s Wrestling Con with quite literally the man, the myth, the legend, someone who has worked literally everywhere, a guy who likes to face the young lions, the up-and-comers, a guy who's killing it. I mean, my first question out of the gate is how. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Crowbar. Thank you, Crowbar. Long overdue. How are you, bro?
Thanks so much, guys. What's going on?
It's good to see you, man. Crowbar, I mean, literally my first question, man. For what, 30-plus years?
Yes.
Doing it. You look fantastic.
That's amazing, yeah.
You're killing it, man. I hate to be cliche, but I'm literally filming this. I'm literally commentating this. I'm watching this happen. There's rails. You're jumping off. There's even nowhere to stand on the cage, and somehow you jump off it. How are you doing this? Like, what's the secret at such a high level?
I don't want to pull back the curtain too much.
Sure, sure.
But rest assured, if I'm doing it, there's always a chance for injury, for things to go wrong in pro wrestling. But if I'm doing it, I'm a big safety guy. So if I'm doing it, rest assured, I've calculated a safe way for both me and my opponent to survive whatever we're doing out there. So without pulling it back too much,
sure.
If I did it, it's safe.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, it's amazing to see, and I hate to bury the lead here, man. Let's talk about it. Rick Recon, 4 matches, not the trifecta.
Yeah.
4 matches, man. You stepped it up every single time for me, and I'm not being biased because you're here, but that third match, the steel cage match, the first one, instant BCP match of the year candidate. We listed what's your match of the year. Almost everyone in the comments said that steel cage match. What does that mean to you? And also, you know, working with, as you say, the young lion, Rick Recon.
Each week, whenever I go out, be it ISPW, Outlaw, all the independents, I say put me with the younger guys. I friggin' generally enjoy. I love.
That's great to hear.
And when I came up in a time, that was not a fashionable thing to say. So, and I don't care now. I got a regular job, wife, kids, whatever. Life is good, not being snarky. I have the freedom to say what I want. I freaking love pro wrestling. I love being pushed. I get a kick out of it. I'm happy the fans seem to be enjoying what I'm doing. I enjoy working with these younger guys, being pushed with these younger guys, being pushed athletically, and I get a real kick out of being able to still hang with these guys. And I think, I hate to say it, more than just hang, I think we're doing a high-level competitive stuff.
Yes.
They push me to my limits. I think I push them, and I think I'm also teaching guys to do stuff like how to work hard, but how to also work safe. And I think that's a lot of
that's great to hear. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, as someone who dates a wrestler, man, I very much appreciate that because it is not an easy life. 30 plus years. First of all, as someone in a wrestling relationship, what advice could you give me, Crowbar? I need all the help I can get not to sleep on the couch, bro.
It was right after WCW. I took a trip down to the ECWA in Delaware, my old stomping grounds, where I cut a lot of my teeth there and was visiting friends. And I met Dina, and it's, you know, how many years later? You know, that was back in 2001 or in 2023 now. You know,
that's amazing to hear.
Wrestling,
yeah, that's all.
Brings us,
congrats, man.
You know, thank you. We've we worked together way back then. We had some kids. We opened the business. We did a little bit of wrestling here and there during those times when life got busy. You know, not too much. Now the kids are older. It's easier to bring them to shows. They're friends with Danny Doring's kids, and you know,
that's
they
great.
Get to hang out some of that. So it's them getting older has enabled us to delve back into this and have a good time. And even during the years we had off, I love watching pro wrestling, so there was never an issue because my wife likes watching pro wrestling.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Star Wars, my wife loves watching Star
there
Wars.
You go. Okay.
We really do have a lot in common. That doesn't go to say like we argue and stuff like every other couple, but we talk it out and we just find a way to get by.
Love
and it's
it.
But we do have a lot in common. We outside of just our romance, our family life, we have a lot of similar interests outside of with the standard marriage stuff.
I love that, man, and I wasn't trying to pry it all, but I appreciate you sharing that,
man,
for sure,
cool.
Man, that's awesome. You mentioned Star Wars, big Star Wars guy.
Yes.
Favorite Star Wars movie of all time and favorite Star Wars character of all time.
Ooh, can't really narrow it down. They're all so important. If I had to pick years ago, I would say, which is the cliche answer, the favorite movie is Empire Strikes
Correct.
Back.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct answer.
That because.
Oh, hold on.
I'm going to tell you why.
Swerve. Okay.
And it all has to do with the experience, okay?
Yes. Okay.
Right, where we go?
Years ago, when I'm a kid, you waited years for these movies to come out. Star Wars.
Good answer.
Empire, Return of the Jedi. So you have Star Wars, that's great. Empire comes out, and Hans and Carbonite, Darth Vader reveals that he's Luke's father. Everybody's in this really dark time. And a little aside, the first Star Wars, you didn't have that Jabba the Hutt scene in you never saw Jabba in the first. So Return of the Jedi comes along. There's a bunch of what we call in wrestling, a lot of payoffs. You see Jabba for the first time, and he looks incredible.
This
friggin' nasty space slug.
Awesome.
He has a cool palace. Everybody back then loved the cantina. His palace is very reminiscent of the creatures you saw at the Mos Eisley cantina.
Yes.
Han gets unfrozen. They have the Sarlacc pit, which is cool. You see the Emperor in the flesh for the first time with these badass red guards with him. Darth Vader takes his helmet off, which was
on her. Yeah.
Darth Vader turns baby face and saves his son. You find out Luke and Leia are brother and sister. So going back then, as a kid, following along and being strung along for years and years, this story took years to tell. Return of the Jedi is just loaded with so many payoffs that I have
great
to say,
that's a great answer.
Back on my childhood experience, Return of the Jedi was awesome.
Favorite character?
Tough. Gotta love Luke. You gotta love Han. Like, I'm gonna name them all.
Yeah.
Jabba and the Emperor are great heels. Boba Fett was always that cult, really cool figure that I.
Yeah.
Boba Fett as a kid playing with the action figures, Boba Fett was involved in everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
You can't name this one.
Yeah.
I love Chewbacca for me. Do yourself a favor if you guys ever get the chance, go see the Symphony Orchestra play along with the movie they do that at Count Basie.
I have been wanting to do that. I heard that's a really cool experience.
Fantastic. You guys would love it. Yeah. Crowbar, got to talk shop, of course. You mentioned that you have somehow never fought Tommy Dreamer. I believe that's coming up down
never
the line.
That's crazy to me.
Your thoughts, yeah.
We're both on the East Coast. We were both in ECCW. We both resided here for years and years. Both have very similar styles.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Independent fans would just have assumed that this match probably happened
years
five,
ago,
six,
yeah,
seven,
yeah.
eight, nine times.
Yeah.
Has never happened, and I'm looking very, very forward to it. Tommy's a great guy.
Yes, he is.
He is the innovator of violence. And just going back, not to get too deep into the weeds here, I mean, ECW was definitely not the best experience for me, but it was a good learning experience. It made me tough. It made me not just in wrestling, but in life. But there was always one happy, smiling face that was always willing to listen or to give advice or to not be like the other guys. And Tommy Dreamer was always a quality, great, down-to-earth guy, in spite of me probably being the red-headed stepchild of the ECW locker room. Tommy was always great to me, and it's it means a lot to actually have a match, and I think it's going to be fun, and I'm just looking so forward to it. And again, it's amazing that it hasn't happened yet, and a lot of people are so shocked when they hear that it hasn't happened yet. So
Looking
forward to it.
That's amazing to hear. Shameless promo. I hate to be cliche again. Crowbar, we got to ask. I got to pull over the event here. British Bulldog Jr. On tap tonight. Your thoughts going into that one?
I did a deep dive for like the past 2.5 weeks while I do a cardio and watching a lot of his stuff. He's outstanding. He looks great. He wrestles great. And again, young lion. And I'm very, very much looking forward to being pushed and hopefully pushing him to the limits and showing the people a really, really great. I'm very grateful for this opportunity. I think it's going to be awesome. I have a lot of cool ideas. I'm sure he has some cool ideas, and I hope everybody enjoys what we come up with.
Love it, Crowbar. I want to be respectful of your time. Two more really quick. Got to ask, when you came up with these vignettes on Twitter with the glass of wine and the philosophy and the theories, I think it's absolutely brilliant. Tell us a little bit what you're comfortable with sharing, the philosophy behind that.
Well, it was the end of 2019.
Oh no, I'm so sorry, Crowbar. No,
I am
Maven.
Such a fan.
He's gonna be handcuffed to Dave LaGreca. Crowbar, I apologize.
Maven, to be perfectly honest, I have not okayed that. That's not in my rider. It's not in my contract.
Above my pay grade.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, that's above our pay grade.
Can you? I just have to write a strong. I have to say, I'm not gonna do nothing. Can you take it? Stay away from Vicky, please, man. I just gotta ask, man. You guys had some confrontations.
The Russian national anthem.
I can't promise anything. I just had to come over and show my respect.
Okay.
As you should.
This man, I could not love a human being.
Oh wait, it's going down.
Hold up. Stay away from her.
I try.
They live together, so it's kind of hard.
I'm a little intimidated. Oh wow. Sorry about that, Crowbar. You know how it goes.
He got praise. Oh no.
But the vignettes on Twitter, they're fantastic,
so,
man.
Yeah. So I had started in 2019. I'll give you the cliff notes. Me, my wife, my bodyguards, who we've seen in ISPW on and off personal. We did two shows for Ring of Honor, and it was a really cool, great experience. We had a lot of, and that really relit that wrestling fire. I had been doing it, been a lot of fun, but that really lit a fire under my ass. I said, wow, this was fun doing it on a bigger scale again. And then 2020 comes, we do the one show in Baltimore, Free Enterprise, it was called, and then COVID hits. So I work in healthcare. I own a healthcare facility. And in New Jersey, if you were to go to a live place, or if you were to leave the state or do anything like that, you had to quarantine for 2 weeks. So it wasn't, I just simply could not do it. That would have shut me down.
So
I pulled back, but I still needed my wrestling fix. I always had this kind of idea for like this, I don't know, what do you call my character, this eccentric, well-to-do, but has like a fetish or kink, whatever, for like being extreme and violent, and it was, Danny Gurin kind of helped with a lot. It was me, him, Roadkill, and Bull James were in my pool one summer, and like Danny goes, you should just be you, be Chris Ford if you were a dick about your success.
Why not?
That's a great description.
Because just being over the top dick about how good you have it, and I'm not being. This is the real conversation.
Yeah.
I needed a wrestling outlet. I needed a wrestling fix during that time.
Yeah.
I physically couldn't go places to wrestle, so I came up. What would this character say? What I would probably have a lot to say about wrestling, and it was always very much heel geared, because if you show up on social media after all these years away and you're saying nice things, nobody gives a shit. Nobody wants to hear nice things. It's the Wild West.
Fair. Yeah,
fair. Yeah. So you got to go out there and start rounding people up. So I picked on this clip I saw. I picked on this clip I saw that the smarts liked it. Of course, mm-hmm. Oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. And it's, so I go, oh, okay, I'll shit on that.
I was going to say, I apologize. For this is for the kids, Crowbar, so they can take it. I apologize for the fake bell.
So like, I actually like this, but I'll shit on it. That's actually very creative. I want to rile people up. And surprisingly, a lot of the people took what I was doing as real. And I was like, I got a lot of cool feedback, but I got a lot of nasty fucking messages.
Yeah. You hit a nerve.
You know, like hitting the stuff about like people bringing their belts, people fighting about ratings, people all, and I would pick on fans and I'd pick on some of their favorite wrestlers and it was just, it just worked. It was easy, but more than anything else, for me, it was a fun wrestling outlet. And I had never, my character in WCW, the Independence Prior, I had never really delved into character or promos or anything like that. And with the promos, I call them memorandums, because I just go off on a topic and they're usually 2 minutes straight, if not more. And they are delivered very eloquently.
Yes,
and
I like
well spoken, whatever. And for me personally, I grew up as a kid definitely on the spectrum, definitely socially very, very weird, not a cool kid, not the cool guy I am now. And
it's pretty cool. Yeah.
And I actually had a very severe speech impediment.
Really?
Growing up.
Wow.
And so it was very empowering doing these promos of this very well-spoken.
That's great to hear. That's awesome.
So it was just something that happened. And that's something that developed as I got along later in life, when I just became, grew into my own, became more confident. And so it was a little personal triumph for myself.
That's awesome. It's that's great to
it's
hear.
It's very entertaining. Crowbar, yeah. Last question. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it, man. Advice for the up-and-comers, a lot of people trying to connect with the crowd, get over with the crowd right here. What advice for you at a lot of this young independent talent on the up-and-coming?
I've said this over and over again. This generation of wrestlers, without question, the most athletically gifted wrestlers on the planet. They do amazing, amazing stuff. I just think it's... And I'm not crapping on that. I think the guys are so great. They're so athletic, but they take a lot of risks that I don't think need to be taken.
I've had many
conversations in the back with somebody, and they say, "How about if we do this?" I'm like, "No, that's not really safe." But as I say, I will offer you 3 or 4 moves of equal or greater value.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
That are safer. I go, we're not going to do that because this is why. But I go, but I'm happy taking this, or this from you. And they look just as good, if not better, and it looks like they hurt me even more than that does, and I just think that it fits better and it's safer. You know what I mean? So I think just being safe is huge. I think anybody aspiring to be a pro wrestler, I go, and I've been saying this for years, have a backup plan.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Wrestling, acting, any kind of entertainment, they're cruel and heartless.
Yeah.
Not secure businesses. And if you have something else, and it doesn't have to be school, it could be the family business. If you're, it could be trade. It could be a trade school. I pursued physical therapy and pro wrestling at the same time.
Wow.
Before.
That's amazing.
Online classes. I physically had to go to class. And literally, I went to class during the week. I went to the gym at night. I studied. On the weekends, I wrestled, and I had no social life. And that was my choice. I wanted to do therapy. I wanted to do wrestling, and there wasn't time for anything else. If you want it bad enough, you can do both, especially now. So many credits can be earned online or whatever. There's ways to do what you want to do. And fast forward now, I'm doing this 32 years. I am empowered to do this.
Amazing.
If I want to do a show, I take it. If I like the person that I'm going to be booked about, I take it. If I don't want to do a show, I don't, because, and again, I'm just trying to be an example, not being snarky at all. Life is good. I have control of my own narrative, what I do. And I'm doing this 32 years later because I can pull my own chest. I love pro wrestling, but it's not my means of, a lot of people, if they had to support themselves, or a family on a pro wrestling income. It's not.
You
just can't. It's hard. So be safe, but have be working on something else, because wrestling, you could be riding high one day and you could be not used for a year the next day. No, I made it with WCW for almost 3 years. I was not on the top of the card. I made money. That gave me a good head start in life. It, it gave me a great down payment on my first house. But if that was all I ever did and I didn't have physical therapy, I would have been fucked.
Straight up.
So if you're going to pursue this, it's great. It's find something else. Cover all the bases. And although it's a lot of work now, you might end up being 49 years old and have taken a bunch of time off, and all of a sudden your body feels good and you might be able to screw around like I'm doing right now.
You're killing
under
it.
Your own, you know, and under your own terms.
I was going to say too, when Rob got me into ISPW a couple years ago and he told me that you were still wrestling, I used to watch you in the later days of WCW and you were one of my favorites.
Thank you.
All your matches were so much fun, very entertaining. Little things like wearing the knee pads on the outside of the jeans, and just the fact that you're still killing it at a high level nowadays, it's just amazing to see. I just wanted to say I appreciate you.
I appreciate it, and I'm telling you, it's I get a lot of praise for it, and it's awesome, and I love it. But I'm entertaining myself.
Yeah, that's great to hear, though. Especially at this stage in your life, that's great to hear.
I'm having a freaking great time. People ask me, what am I doing? Is this a resurgence? Is it a comeback? I don't know what it is. I'm just kind of...
It's awesome.
You're doing your thing.
I'm just doing it. I don't know how long it lasts.
You're enjoying the ride while it lasts.
I don't know what it is. Just having a good time.
It's a Crowbar. Yeah, thank you. Fun. Thank you for a few minutes. Thank you for putting over the younger talent. Thank you for giving Vicky advice. Thank you for a few minutes, man.
Thank you so much, brother.
Lots WCW Crowbar on Twitter. Ladies and gentlemen, Crowbar, we out. Peace.